Well, two things. One, I want to call Brother-ish up. Now, some of you may not know, but Ish is the administrator of the church. And the reason you may not know that is because he does everything at the church. Practically everything at the whole church. We constantly ask Ish. If anybody's got a problem, ask Ish. It's either Ish or Jeff. Ish or Jeff. Ish or Jeff. Back and forth. And Ish is going to be bringing the message for us today. And Ish, he's an anointed minister of God. And I tell you, you'll get an anointed word of God today. I promise you that. But we thank God for Ish. Ish has been with us for years and years and years and years. Ever since the beginning. And we thank God, even in the home group. When we had a home group before we had the church, that was actually the start of the church. I used to sit in a chair in a home group with just a handful of people. And I'd teach from that chair, just the Word of God. And Ish would sit right next to me. Well, I get excited while I'm teaching. And if you got anybody to hit, you want to hit something. So I'm like, praise God. Glory to God. Wasn't that good? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I just kept doing that to him. And I think now I've noticed his arm's a lot stronger. His muscles are, you know, they're there. And I think it's because of all that hitting. But we thank God for Ish. Now, I want you today, if you will, to look at your neighbor. I want you to smile at your neighbor. I want you to point at your neighbor. And I want you to say, I came to receive God's good word this day. And I declare, I'm ready. Are you ready to receive God's good word this day? And I declare, I'll never, ever be the same again. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. One quick announcement. I want y'all to know we're having services, of course, next Sunday morning, just like always, this Wednesday night, like always. And next Sunday night, we're going to have a partial worship service and a breakfast fellowship in that part of the service. So we would like for y'all to come out and just enjoy. And now, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just plead the blood of Jesus Christ over the rest of this service. Father, we thank you that the eyes of our understanding are enlightened according to the hope of your calling. We thank you for revelation knowledge. We thank you that the word of the Lord will have free course in our midst. We thank you that your people will make a strong drawing on the anointing of God. We thank you for answers coming in your presence today. Holy Spirit, preach through Ish, teach through Ish, use Ish today. Illuminate the eyes of his understanding. Father, I thank you that he's preaching and teaching your word, and you said anytime your word is preached or taught, signs and wonders follow your word. So we're believing for and expecting to see signs and wonders following this word this day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Amen.
I can't raise this arm very high. Pardon me while I get a little ready here. It's a humbling experience being up here. Pastor asked me to fill in for him because he has a special guest at home, right? Their son came, so it's a special time for them. And I'm glad to do it. Speaking by faith. I hope everybody stays awake because it changes from lively pastor to me. That's why we have a little cold today. So the more motion you have by shivering, the more you stay awake. A Charlie Brown Christmas debuted on national primetime television on December 9, 1965. After 52 years, the beloved animated show is a classic, and watching it has become a tradition for many of us. There's one moment in this show that went seemingly unnoticed for many years. Linus tells us what Christmas is all about. In a world where the latest, greatest technology is outdated in a matter of months, and social media trends come and go in a matter of days, 52 years of anything becomes quite meaningful. There is one thing we didn't notice then, and didn't notice until lately. Right in the middle of speaking at the Christmas play, Linus drops his security blanket. Now, Charlie Brown is best known for his uniquely striped shirt, and Linus is associated with his ever-present security blanket. Throughout the story of Peanuts, Lucy, Snoopy, Sally, and others all work to separate Linus from his blanket. Even though his security blanket remains a major source of ridicule for the otherwise mature and thoughtful Linus, he simply refuses to give it up. Until this moment, he simply drops it. In that climatic scene when Linus shares what Christmas is all about, he drops his security blanket. It is now convincing that this is intentional. Most evident of which is the specific moment he drops it, when he utters the words, "Fear not." Looking at it now, it is pretty clear what Charles Schulz was saying. And it's so simple, it's brilliant. I'd like to play that video now. Might move it back, Chrissy. All the way to the beginning. Yep.
It's Charlie Brown completely hopeless. Rats! You've been dumb before, Charlie Brown, but this time you really did it. What a treat! I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Amen. The birth of Jesus separates us from our fears. The birth of Jesus frees us from the habits we are unable or unwilling to break ourselves. The birth of Jesus allows us to simply drop the false security we have and learn to trust and cling to Him instead. Amen. The world of 2017 can be a scary place. Most of us find ourselves grasping to something temporary for security, whatever that thing may be. Mine is a blue blanket. Mine is a blue blanket. (Clears throat) Security, blue blanket, okay. Really, 2017 is a world in which it is very difficult for us to fear not. But in the midst of fear and insecurity, the simple cartoon image from 1965 continues to live on as an inspiration. We seek peace, security, in the one place it has always been and can always be found, Jesus. Another attribute to the birth of Christ is hope. In the Old Testament, Jeremiah, he's the one who cried out for God's mercy, being new every morning, even as destruction surrounded him. In the middle of his sorrow, he found hope and comfort in his God. Jeremiah said in Lamentations 3:22-23, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him." Now, how could anyone cry out, "Great is your faithfulness," in the middle of loss? The answer is that Jeremiah knew that God could turn tragedy into triumph. He had a revelation of God's steadfast love. The Lord declares that he himself will stand as a supporting base against the thing that would seek to bring us harm. Imagine the power of God in our lives. As C.S. Lewis has said, the birth of Christ is the central event in the history of the earth, the very thing the whole story has been about. Prepare the way of the Lord serves as a main theme in this season. As we get ready for Christmas, we should not neglect to prepare our lives for Jesus, who came as the light of the world. His light penetrated the dark world, which allowed all to see their Messiah and the hope for their future. Today we need to be prepared for the coming of Christ, learning more about what the Bible reveals about Christ's return will enable us to understand the possible significance of world events. Be ready and watchful, for the light of the world has come and will surely come again. In Luke, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born again in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in the manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of the heaven praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." One of the awesome things is that God went all out for the shepherds. They were poor, dirty, and often outcasts of society. These are the ones God went all out for. The lowly shepherds got to hear the good news of the Messiah's birth, even before the religious leaders or those the world values as important. Jesus coming to earth brought love. John 3:16, we all know it. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. For a child shall be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. God gave his one and only child to come to earth and die for our salvation. The Christmas story is never complete without the Easter story, because the child in Bethlehem was born to die. Soren Kierkegaard, a pastor and Christian philosopher, tells this story during the Christmas season. There once was a king who had great power and wealth, who fell in love with a pauper maiden. He knew he should not love her, his being of royalty and her living in poverty, but nevertheless, he did. He wondered how he could capture her love. Being the sovereign king, maybe he should just send his soldiers and whisk her away and declare her his queen. But would she just be agreeing to his power rather than to responding to his love? He thought about showering her with gifts up to half his kingdom. But would she love him for his wealth and not for himself? He pondered his dilemma and decided that he only had one choice. He must give up his kingdom and his royal possessions and power and become a pauper and live just like the one he loved. In the end, sacrificial love found a way and triumphed over wealth, power, and position, winning the affection of the one he loved. Jesus could have declared us righteous without dying, but he would not have fulfilled the will or the law of God. He could have forced our obedience to his wishes, but like the king in our story, he wanted to win our love and not demand it. So the second person in the Godhead, in all his glory and majesty, the one who always was, always is, and always will be, invaded time and space and came to this planet in the form of a peasant child. He maintains this posture of humility, as he walks this earth for 33 years. He remains obedient to his Father, even to his death, the death on the cross. But this is not the end of the story. Though he walked in meekness, there is always great power in humility, as the grave could not hold him. Amen. He triumphs over the great enigma called death. Yes, sir. And because he rose from the dead, the Bible promises, so shall we. Amen. Us who believe in the Son of God. Amen. So the greatest gift this Christmas morning is that great hope that we have of eternal salvation. Yes. We never again have to fear the tyranny of death. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:55, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? This Christmas morning, whether we have many gifts or only a few under a tree, because of the birth of this baby in Bethlehem, his life, death, and resurrection, we have much for which to be thankful. Do you ever wonder if God understands your life? Whether he really understands what it means to be human and deal with all the stuff we have to deal with? The stress and worry, the health scares, difficult teenagers, the bills and demanding bosses. Amazingly, he does. We don't serve a distant and removed God like the Romans and the Greeks did. No, we serve a God who, in the words of the angel who visited Joseph, became one of us. As a good Jew, along with all his people, Joseph would have been waiting for the anointed one that God had promised to send to save his people. What Joseph, or his people for that matter, would not have expected was that God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, would conceive a child in his fiancée's womb and be known as Emmanuel, which means God became one of us. A look at in the New Testament, we see how many describe this glorious moment. God says in his gospel, I'm sorry, they're not the same. John says in his gospel that the living expression, Jesus Christ, became a man and lived among us. And we gazed upon the splendor of his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, overflowing with tender mercy and truth. The writer in Hebrews wrote, since all his children have flesh and blood, so Jesus became human to fully identify with us. He did that so that we could experience death, so that he could experience death and annihilate the effects of the intimidating accuser who holds against us the power of death. Now he doesn't stop there though. He goes on. For we have a magnificent king, priest, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who rose into the heavenly realm for us and now sympathizes with us in our frailty. He understands humanity. For as a man, our magnificent king, priest, was tempted in every way just as we are, and he conquered sin. So now we come freely and boldly to where love is enthroned, to receive mercy's kiss, and discover the grace we urgently need to strengthen us in our time of weakness. Think about this. The God of the universe sympathized with us in our frailty. He understood humanity. How? Because he became a man and lived among us. He became human to fully identify with us. God lived this life. Means he understands your life, all of your frailty and pain, your baggage and unbrokenness. He understands humiliation because he was humiliated on the cross. He understands rejection because he was rejected. He understands sorrow because he was a man of sorrows. Do you ever wonder if God understands your life? Well, wonder no more. Because the beauty and majesty of the Christmas season is that Mary gave birth to Emmanuel, yes, sir. The God who became one of us. Yes, sir. May this truth give us all hope as we celebrate the first coming of God, the God who is with us. Jesus came into this world over 2,000 years ago as the first gift of Christmas. The great thing of Jesus is he is the gift that keeps on giving. He never runs out, and he can be re-gifted to others. Proverbs 17:8, as I finish, a gift is a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth. Thank you for your attention, and I hope you all have a Merry Christmas. Thank you. All glory to God. All glory to God.